Hello everyone and a very warm welcome to today's service. My name's Catherine and I'm part of the leadership team here at Whitley Bay Baptist Church. And today we're going to be continuing our series on the Beatitudes, and the verse that we're focusing on is, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." And Tony's going to be speaking to us about that verse today. But to start with, I'm hoping that you have brought your square of paper with you. And we're going to be having a go at making an origami dove today. Now, as you probably know, I am a teacher, but unfortunately, I'm not an origami teacher. So we'll just have to try our best. The joy of YouTube, of course, is that you can rewind it and have a look at the instructions again if it's a little bit tricky. So you're going to start, the first bit's nice and easy. You start with your square. And you're going to fold it in half to get two triangles. And if you really press your creases down, it'll help you later. So there's your two triangles. And then you're going to do that again. Fold it in half a second time. And press the creases down. And this time you're going to undo that so that you've got one big triangle and it should have a line down the middle like that. Okay, hope you're with me so far. Next, you're going to take the long bottom edge of the triangle and you're going to fold it halfway up so that you end up with a kind of boat shape or maybe a hat shape. Okay, and then you're going to put it down in front of you and you want the triangle part to be sitting on the top. And the triangle's got two parts to it. If you open it up, there's a top flap and a bottom flap. You're going to take the top flap and fold it down so that it hangs down below the bottom of your original triangle. So it looks like that. So you should have a diamond shape right in the middle, hopefully. Okay, the next part is you're going to fold this in half this way. So can you remember when you made that original fold? It's there. So you've got that shape. These are going to end up being the wings of your dove. Okay, then you're going to take this top half flap, the whole half of the shape, and fold it back to make a wing. Like that, I've folded it right back. And you end up with a kind of little diamond again in the middle that's cut into four triangles. And then you're going to take the other side and fold that back as well. And you should end up with something that looks like that. Then you're going to take, you should have a shorter triangle here and a long triangle here. And this is going to be the beak of your dove. So you fold it down. And you're going to do it's called an inverse fold. You just fold it in on itself. And you should end up with a little beak there and your wings and your tail of your dove. Well, mine worked okay. I hope yours did too. And it'd be nice to be able to use that as a little reminder this week of that verse that we've been looking at. It'd also be great if you are following our Whitley Bay Baptist Church Facebook page or Twitter page. You could show us the pictures of your doves on there. Love to see them. So in today's service, we've got three Bible readings. And the first one is this one from Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 12 to 15. And I've taken it from the New Living Translation. And it says this, "So take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but will become strong. Work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. And now we're going to continue our service with our Bible readings, which John and Adam are going to bring us. And then we're going to sing the song, Breathe On Me.
If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honourable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favouritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness.
Romans 14:13-19. So let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. I know and am convinced on the authority of the Lord Jesus that no food in and of itself is wrong to eat. But if someone believes it is wrong, then for that person it is wrong. And if another believer is distressed by what you eat, you are not acting in love if you eat it. Don't let your eating ruin someone for whom Christ died. Then you will not be criticized for doing something you believe is good. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living in a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God, and others will approve of you too. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up.
Breathe on us now, come breathe on us now. what's been lost, and he'll give back what's been taken. He will give sight to the blind, he will give strength to the weak, and he will care for the broken. He knows your deepest need, and there is mercy to meet all of your deepest longings. A taste of heaven on earth, now freely given to us, the Father's glory.
Loving Heavenly Father, we come to you as we are. Thank you that you welcome and embrace all who call out and turn to you. You are wonderful Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness forever. Jesus, you are merciful, compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Spirit, you are the bringer of life and freedom, of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Father, you are our good, good Father. We pray that you will renew our minds to truly understand and know who you are. Where our own experiences have distorted our understanding and view of you, we ask you to break through, to show us afresh, our loving Heavenly Father. Lord, this world is broken. We are broken. And we come to you now and ask that you will bring healing into our lives. I invite you to spend a moment now bringing to our safe, loving Father any of your struggles, your pains, your loss, your shame, your anger, your joy, your hopes, your sadness, whatever comes to your mind. Talk to God about it now. Shalom, peace, harmony, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, welfare, and tranquility. Shalom. We pray for our church, as a Christian community of people, we would be welcoming to all who come. pray that we would be understanding, loving, slow to judge, and quick to listen to people. Pray that we would be able to support and encourage each other to be honest and open, to share our lives with each other without pretense. That we would be gracious to each other as you are gracious to us, Lord. So in our relationships, we particularly pray for any broken relationships. Father, you know our hurts and disappointments. And I invite you to spend a moment now bringing them to our loving Father. Father, help us to be compassionate to ourselves so we can be compassionate to others. Spirit, work within us so we can forgive just as you forgive us. Bind us together in love, we pray. Now we think of your planet Earth, nature. We pray that we may reconnect with nature, that we would appreciate afresh the wonder of your creation. We have plundered and destroyed creation for our own needs. Help us to live in harmony with nature. I invite you to spend a moment now bringing your prayers for creation care to our loving Father. Finally, we turn our thoughts to the many conflicts we see in different nations and in our own nation. We pray for our leaders and those in influence that they would work for peace, to avoid violence, to seek compromise and understanding. I invite you to think of a particular conflict that's on your heart now. Bring it to our Father. Thank you for those who love your name, your church, who around the world are reaching out in some of these difficult situations. Lord, we pray for your kingdom to come. So let's close with saying the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who is in heaven, blessed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Today, we reach the last and seventh beatitude for kingdom citizenship and their character. No doubt, every one of us wants to live in peace, but that is not the same as being a peacemaker. Oh yes, I know, there is a final beatitude, but that speaks of the experience of disciples who follow Christ in difficult circumstances. It is that which makes the peacemaker beatitude the critical link. For while it is still a characteristic of the blessed, it is also, like the eighth, meeting a condition, the experience, that requires an active response. Peacemaking is not an option for citizens of the kingdom. Jesus is not saying this is how we become children of God, but that the children of God are peacemakers. So how do we get to be peacemakers? Imagine that you are invited to ascend a godly stairway. Gregory of Nyssa, as far back as the 4th century, used this visual illustration to explain. He says, "It seems to me that the Beatitudes are arranged in order, like so many steps, so as to facilitate the ascent from one to the other. For if a man's mind has ascended to the first beatitude, he will accept what follows as a necessary result of thought, even though the next clause seems to say something new beyond what has been said in the first." Gregory was right. Each gospel rung depends on Jesus, and each is reached only with the Holy Spirit's help. These blessings are all descriptions of our final salvation found only in Jesus Christ. And they are only for those who have become new people, shaped by Jesus, who in this last beatitude are named for what they are, children of God. So how does this ascent work? View the risers as they build on each other. See the image of the godly staircase. Those who recognise their poverty of spirit turn towards Jesus and seek attachment with him. They mourn over their sin, which separates them from God, seeking obedience to Jesus as Lord. They learn humility from Jesus, for he did not consider equality with God, that is, putting oneself in God's place. That's basically what sin is, ruling our own life that leads to sins. For he did not consider equality with God not something to be grasped, but humbled himself even to death on a cross. The disciple then learns what it is to be hungry for righteousness, and that goal fills their desire each day, which brings them not only to receive love and forgiveness, but to offer it by letting go of bitterness and choosing the pathway of Jesus. Having received mercy, they offer mercy. This leaves them free to live in the purity of heart that God always desires for those he created. It's the prayer of David. "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. It is the promise of the Lord when the Spirit inspired David to pen those words. And these also. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. For it is there in his holy place that we see God. And when we see Jesus, we just know that the next step is to become a peacemaker like him. So, how do we act as peacemakers? What makes us recognisable as peacemakers? Let's get rid of the misconceptions first. You often hear that shalom, the Hebrew word for peace, means absence of conflict. And while that has a grain of truth in it, it is not the whole story. We can never confuse peacemaking with pacifism. Nor is it avoidance of strife, putting one's head in the sand, hoping that the conflict will end generally. That only delays the inevitable, and we are never instructed to run from conflict. It is not appeasement of parties, which is based on the peace at any price mentality, for you can never make all of the people happy all of the time. Finally, it is not accommodation of issues, acting as if everything is all right by glossing over the problems. Jesus did not say, "Blessed are the peace wishers, the peace hopers, the peace dreamers, the peace lovers, or the peace talkers." He only spoke of blessing for peacemakers. The regular use of the word shalom, therefore, is as a greeting, just like we use hello or goodbye, but it was intended to call down health and prosperity, harmony and wholeness on those you meet. It is the same as the familiar Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless you and protect you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look with favour on you and give you peace. And peace in the Bible always calls for righteousness and justice, because without them, lasting peace is not possible. Now we see why the order of the Beatitudes is as it is. Righteousness leads to a just mercy and a purity of heart for all parties involved. It is a word full of energetic action and initiative. And so this kind of peace never happens by chance. It is always made. And the biblical term peacemakers comes from the Greek word irenopoios. It means to make or to do peace. Or as Strong's Concordance suggests, bravely declares God's terms, which makes someone whole. And this is what it means to follow Jesus, who is the pathfinder of peacemaking. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So here is a question for anyone who is not at peace with themselves, or others, or God. Do you see what Christ has done for you? Do you see the love of God for you? How in Jesus Christ he came to bring you who were away from him, to bring you home to himself and to share in his peace. Whatever you think is a barrier to this, every wall that you feel keeps you out is taken away by him. In acknowledging you are poor of spirit and lamenting that fact, Jesus offers the peace of comfort, a righteous filling and mercy to make your heart pure. Come to Jesus today and you will not be turned away. He will make you a friend for life, a child of God forever. And then, once a Christian, whether a long time or a short time, in following our pioneer, we are called to make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Work at getting along with each other and with God. Otherwise, you'll never get so much as a glimpse of God. Make sure no one gets left out of God's generosity. In every relationship, be swift to choose peace over competition and run swiftly towards holiness. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Peacemakers reconcile people with God and with each other. This surely is the understanding of Jesus' words, to love God with all your heart, soul and mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. Peacemakers build bridges by actively being Christ's ambassadors. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. This is our kingdom mission as citizens of the kingdom. Peacemakers build bridges to help those at odds cross over to peace with each other. We have to long for peace out of our own hearts filled with peace. This means keeping our record with God short and up to date. It means recognising that peace achieving is not the same as peacemaking. We may make sacrifice to seek it, but it may not always come. As Jesus is encouraging, but also acknowledging, when you enter a home, greet the family. Shalom, peace. If your greeting is received, then it's a good place to stay. But if it's not received, take it back and get out. Don't impose yourself. Or as the Apostle Paul recognises, if it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. Peacemakers also build bridges to be at peace with others. And that's what Jesus expects of us as Christians in the kingdom. We are to seek peace and pursue it. The key to this beatitude is found later in chapter 5 at this verse. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Here is all the acts of love we apply to make peace. Jesus calls us to pray for those who persecute you. How do you do that? Well, I would suggest that you pray the Lord's Prayer, which has been much of the last year of our church life. Not just for yourself, but for all of its benefits, that they may be the others as well. It's very hard to hold a grudge for someone you are praying for. Let go of your animosity and see them as someone who God loves as much as you. They are those for whom Christ died, said Bruce Milne. Don't feed the lion inside of you by avoiding them. Take active steps to seek peace. The soft greeting can break the ice in both hearts. Do good to those who hurt you. Stop building the pile of bricks that are so easy to pick up and throw. Christine was a single mum with many difficulties and life was hard. Lots of folks were kind and generous and went the second mile for her and the family. Eventually decided there was no love being expressed and angrily left. Many examined their hearts and actions, including us, but decided her decision needed to be honoured as part of our love for her. The church prayed and committed her and her family into God's hands. Miraculously, several years later, she returned and asked for forgiveness, which was readily given by all. The relationship was restored, and I had the privilege of conducting her wedding sometime later. But one caveat, a caution. This is not about compromise where truth or loyalty to Jesus is concerned. There will be some who oppose you because of him. And in those cases, Jesus himself said that he had not come to bring peace. This is why the seventh beatitude links with the last about being blessed if you are persecuted. For as we aim for the desires of our Lord, we will find insight. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Here are some simple steps that you can take to begin. Start by talking to God, for I believe he will give perspective and tenderness. The Lord helps me see the deeper needs in the relationship and what has caused the problem. He also shows me my part and often my wrong words, behaviour or attitude that is hindering the reconciliation. Even if the other person is 95% in the wrong and I am only 5% in the wrong, I still have to confess my error. Then I surrender the conflict to the Lord. Stop talking about the people who have hurt you to other people. Nothing disqualifies us in being peacemakers more than talking about people rather than talking to them. A peacemaker never says anything about another person that she or he has not first said to that person directly. And after that, why tell anyone else? Take the first step. But you say, why should I go to the person when they are the one that hurt me? Do you want the biblical answer? Because Jesus says so. Conflict is never resolved accidentally. So if you are offering your gift on the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. And later, Jesus said, if your brother sins against you, go and rebuke him in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. Your peace of mind and your Christian witness depends on your taking the first step. And joy and peace and happiness await your action. Tell the other person how you feel. Attack the problem, not the person. Clarify. Don't confront. Cooperate as much as possible. Emphasize reconciliation, not resolution. It was Solomon that wrote, "A gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath." And Paul wrote, "No rotten talk should come from your mouth, but only what is good for the building up of someone in need, in order to give grace to those who hear." Reconciliation, then, is more crucial than being right. And think about it. If you're not a peacemaker, what is the opposite? Troublemaker. So today, in our translations, we have two versions of the seventh beatitude. Blessed are the peacemakers, because they will be called sons of God. And in this politically correct world, rightly, it's been moved to blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Now, we might think that they mean the same, but they are not quite identical. For Jesus, in his day, a child is part of the family and describes their position. But a son is one who is like the family. It is a statement of character. And Jesus is making a significant point. You not only carry the family name, but you bear the family resemblance. You share his common desire and way of life, his name and mission, for which you desire a good reputation. And seeing Jesus as the one who will reconcile all things to himself, God's mission for you and I is preeminent. God's mission as the preeminent peacemaker that we know Jesus is what is required of us. The Lord is on a recruiting mission today. Will you sign up to join his Peace Corps? If you will, then make the prayer of Francis of Assisi that we know so well your own as we hear it now. This is our prayer, Lord Jesus.
Thank you so much to everyone who's been involved in today's service, both on the screen and of course all of those who have helped behind the scenes. Don't forget to show us the doves that you've made, we would love to see them. Today's blessing is going to be a sung blessing and it says, "May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you, wherever he may send you. Amen." Thank you.
Show me.